This is Miko, we're one. Not going to start playing with our this... toy right now because we just started recording hers. Okay. Hers. Love you.
Hers. Straight up evil. Leave the dog alone because the dog didn't do a damn thing and now you're trying to feed him your bodily
thou
fluid.
Thou shalt kill all of your
fans. Had a dog, fish, a tampon, out of the garbage.
It ain't right the Bible you, pages but you can pretend like you will. A dog.
That was wow.
It's the time about it's Georgia. Time. You
and today is a day
is a sad watch story.
Out
just
for
watch
stupid
out
people.
You go and what good. You do. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Straight Up Evil. My name is Jocelyn. I'm the brunette. We've got Katie. She's the redhead.
Hello.
And we have Carly. She's the blonde.
Hiya.
We are talking about Tamla Horsford tonight, Quinnies. So for those of you who don't know, Tamla Horsford was a 41-year-old mother of six who was found dead in the backyard of a home where she had spent the previous night attending an adult slumber party. Some sources say that Tamla was 40. Some sources say that she had five children. I am going with the information provided by her loved ones who created the Justice for Tam website. It's justicefortam.org. They list her as a mother of six, though she is often pictured with her husband and her five sons. This is because her husband had a daughter
had
from a previous
kid, yeah.
marriage who Tamla accepted as her daughter as well. So she was a mother of six. Unfortunately, and like so many cases on this show, Tamla's death was initially ruled an accident and the crime scene was never preserved and minimally photographed.
Yeah, it's a rough one. It's a rough one, Queens. Mm-hmm.
Tamla's death happened in Cumming, Georgia, which is located in Forsyth County. This is a notoriously racist county who straight up tried to stop anyone who wasn't white from living there, not even 40 years ago. And before that, Forsyth County forced all Black residents out in 1912. Regardless of what you think about the Tamla Horsford case, this is the backdrop to this area. Tamla was the only Black person at the adult slumber party, and attorneys for Tamla's family point out this fact, plus the history of the area and the seeming disinterest of law enforcement in investigating this case. They point this out and they say that Tamla's case is another example of crimes against minorities that are not given the resources to be adequately investigated.
Mm-hmm. It's awful.
So our aim for this episode is to lay out what we know happened to Tamla Horsford, how the investigation was straight up mishandled from the beginning, and her family's continued fight to keep this case in the public eye. So Tamla was born in St. Vincent in the Caribbean in 1978, and she and her family moved to the Bronx in 1989. Tamla was happily married to her husband Leander, but everyone calls him Lee, so we will too. And he referred to Tamla as Tam, as most of her friends did. She went by Tam, he went by Lee. So Lee owned a business in Florida, and for some reason, he wanted to relocate his business to Cumming, Georgia. We know that Tamla and Lee had five sons together, and moving to Georgia was not just a move for the business, but also both parents.
For the kids.
Both parents. Right. Felt that there was better opportunities for the kids in Georgia, especially educational opportunities. And the town had a thriving football program. And we know that Tamla's sons participated in several sports, including football. So when they moved into their new house in Georgia in 2013, Tamla met her next door neighbor, a woman named Michelle Graves. She is super important in this story. We'll talk more about her later, but for now, just know that they were best friends.
I'm skeptical about the name too. I just want to say really quick, skeptical about her name. I don't know why.
Michelle Graves?
Yes.
Why?
Just gives me red flags.
Hmm.
First, when I first read it, like when I first read her name, Michelle Graves, I don't know. It's the ring of the name. It gives me a weird feeling.
That's funny, Quinny. I never thought of that. But now that you say it, it is kind
not
of like
even,
a villain.
Not even because of the last name either. Yeah, like just her name as a whole. Michelle Graves. Like, I don't know.
It does kind of sound villainous. A little... villain.
Yeah,
it is.
It would be a great villain name. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So Tamla's getting more in touch with her new community in Georgia, and she becomes acquainted with the other moms who are football moms. They're always at the practices, at the games with the kids. And she makes friends with a woman named Jean Myers.
Tino, now, already, I'm sorry, we're already at a bad start. She's left the house. She's talking to people. She's making friends. Like, we're not.
Don't do this.
Don't do this.
Why would you ever do this? Don't. Why would you ever this. Speak to anyone
don't
for any reason?
Don't leave your house and don't leave the make house. Friends.
Don't make
Stay
friends.
Stay inside with your 35 dogs.
Okay, so Jean Myers, she is another one of the football moms that becomes friends with Tamla. And she actually invited Tamla to attend her 45th birthday party, which was going to be an adult sleepover. They were going to serve food. They're going to watch the Alabama-LSU football game, have a girls' night, kind of an alternative birthday scenario. So in the late afternoon of November 3rd of 2018, Michelle stopped by Tamla's house, as she often does. She finds Tamla cooking dinner for Lee and the boys. And she told Michelle she's going to an adult sleepover party at John's house that night. And she invited Michelle to go with her. And Michelle told Tamla, quote, "Those aren't my kind of people."
Damn just, right, Michelle.
She just kind of was Damn blunt right, and was like, nah, Michelle. Like, I'm good. Thanks. Yeah. Not into it. Tamla was not upset by this. She understood. The two continue to hang out. She cooks dinner. Everything seems normal. So the time that Tamla shows up at this sleepover party is a mystery. Some people say it was 6 p.m. Some people say it was 8 p.m. Some people say it was 10:30. I can't get it pinned down. Yeah. I have no idea. We do know that when she arrived, she brought a bottle of imported tequila. This will come up later in some witness statements, but Michelle says this is classic Tamla because she didn't really drink cheap booze, to be quite frank. Mm-hmm. And she was born in the Caribbean and she liked high quality, nice alcohol.
Good liquor. Yeah. Like, she's bringing a straight G-ass bottle of tequila to a party. Like, that's
And
class.
When they talk about it, like, we'll get into it later, but when they talk about it,
I have a lot of things. I don't like it.
Yep. I do not like it.
Yeah.
I have also searched high and low to find out what kind of tequila this was. If any listeners know or have seen that information, please let me know. It's killing
just please
me.
Please send us a bottle really quick, please.
Just really quick. I don't know what time she got to the sleepover party, but we know that she was fashionably late. That is, everyone, she wasn't there right when everyone got there. She was a little bit later because she did not leave the house until her kids were situated. And at the sleepover, she FaceTimed her family to say goodnight, which just reminds me so much of Carly. how you call and they leave a message, we're going to bed, like, yep. It's just
little
it's
voice messages
so
yeah.
freaking so I love cute
it, I love it, it. Is like, so cute,
yeah,
but see, so, now that makes that alone makes me think she got there probably earlier rather than
before,
like,
bedtime
10:30, because she's not gonna get there at 10:30, hang out a bit and then FaceTime her five children. Mm-hmm. You know?
She's still calling the kids. It's gonna be like on it would you would think it would it's gonna be on the earlier semi earlier yeah. side.
I can't remember exactly, but her youngest at the time, I believe, was either 4 or 5. Sure. So you're probably right. She probably called for bedtime or whatever.
Yeah,
she's got a littles.
So before we go any further into this evening and get into the countless inconsistencies on accounts of the people who were there, remember this. Every single person who was there that night is in total agreement that Tamla Horsford was just keeping pace with the party in terms of drinking. She took shots with the group. When they poured another round, she had one. She was not driving and she was not drinking more than anyone else.
Right.
That is not disputed. Mm-hmm, so don't get it twisted. No one said that she was drinking excessively. A lot of the guests were dropped off that night at the party, and Tamla was dropped off by her husband Lee and did not have a vehicle. This means that not only could she drink without having to worry about driving herself home, but also she couldn't leave even if she wanted to. The Justice for Tam website points out that Tamla's keys and phone were not readily accessible or on her person when she was found. And police reports make no mention of that. But I think that's important to mention here. You know, the woman's going to have to call for a ride. Her keys and phone are not around her.
See, I read somewhere that someone took her keys from her.
Like to keep her from driving
when she got there. Yeah. Like, all right, everybody.
They were
like,
collecting
put away
keys,
your keys
or something.
No one's going to be leaving and driving drunk or drinking and driving at any point.
Really?
But yes. How However, I don't know how I feel about it. And it still doesn't make any sense for the phone. So,
and if it comes from one source as opposed to multiple sources, that's why I always question it.
Exactly.
Well, so maybe we don't really know how she
got
to the party. But
we don't know necessarily.
Because
right.
I keep thinking in my mind, like if her vehicle is there
right.
and left there.
But no one ever mentions that.
No one ever says anything about the car. So I just, right. I don't, yeah.
And
don't
also
know.
If Lee took her, if Lee did bring her, then who's watching the kids?
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I don't know. Unless, I know course, they were, the they're a variety
older.
Of ages. Right. Yeah. They
so
are.
They have an older
so
kid.
The,
okay.
the oldest yeah. probably is at least early teens. It looks like in some of the photos, but I don't, I truly don't know.
We just have different accounts across
right.
the board and nobody
there's
knows.
Not a lot. Yeah.
No,
there's not a lot.
You know? No. So this is a sleepover party, right? So she's got an overnight bag and she brings a festive white Dalmatian onesie pajama ensemble for the occasion. Yes. So there's a very famous picture of Tamla on the huge sectional couch with a bunch of women. Everyone's in their pajamas from that night. And she looks happy and comfortable. This is supposed to be a girls' night. However, John Myers, the guest of honor and the homeowner, had her boyfriend, Jose Barrera, at the house as well. We're going to talk a lot about him. But pretty soon, Tom Smith, who's the husband of another woman who's attending the party, decided to stay and hang out with Jose. So now there's two guys at the house and all of these women having the sleepover party. So the men were basically relegated to the basement while the women had the house upstairs for the party. Tamla was the only cigarette smoker, so she was regularly going outside to smoke. And according to Jean's witness statement after the fact, Tamla also smoked marijuana that night, and marijuana was subsequently found in her system. What John says is that she teased Tamla about smoking weed on the porch and called her, quote, the female Bob Marley, end quote, and told Tamla that her boyfriend, Jose, worked as a pretrial officer for the Forsyth County Sheriff's Department and did not condone the use of marijuana. He was not cool with it.
Not like she took a drug test.
No, and it's just what I mean? This person says. I really don't like that Bob Marley comment. I just don't
no.
like it. I
no.
just
no,
don't like
it.
No,
it's judgmental and it's kind of racist, quite frankly, yeah, too, if you ask me. It's just disrespectful. And you're exactly right. It's like, it's so old, the stigma that's carried over. It's like, seriously, people, it's pot. Just get over it.
Get
like,
over
God.
Yourself. So the men eventually join the party, which is not cool. Guys who are listening, don't do this. I don't give a shit if you want to come enjoy the amenities of the party. Your girlfriend's having a sleepover. But they do eventually join the party and they played Cards Against Humanity, and witness accounts from this period before the party died down consistently say that Tamla did not seem particularly drunk. She was drinking the nice tequila that she brought, which no one else would drink. There are two separate witness statements. One woman saying, I never drink tequila, so I'm not touching it. Thank you, Carly. That's probably, that's you know, it's totally normal sentiment. Another said she brought, quote, some tequila from Mexico, end quote. And she said that she didn't drink it, wouldn't try it because it, quote, made her gag. Okay, so all tequila is from Mexico. Tequila was invented in Mexico. Definitely so. Tequila from Mexico because all tequila is from Mexico. I can't get past this comment. She brought some tequila from Mexico. Just the way that it is said
there
and
are
it is
microaggressions
used,
abound.
Yes, there are.
They are
yes.
turning her
like
into
vibes.
This other entity that does
yes.
not that
the
is
alien
different from
that's
them.
At the party. Yep.
Yes.
The
yes.
alien that's at the party. Totally yep. alienating her.
I know we'll get into it, but it's literally like they're already villainizing her mm-hmm. before yep. she's even become the victim. He's the outsider because she is their. All they keep talking about is like, oh, she brought this tequila. She was smoking pot. She's the only smoker smoking cigarettes. She's the only Black person. And they also always follow it up with, she was the life of the party.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it. And I don't
believe
that's
it.
That's true. I exactly.
I don't believe
even,
that shit for
I
a second.
I need someone from Tamala's family to corroborate that. Because from the moment I heard it, I was like, no, I don't believe so.
No,
I don't think she could be the life of the party.
No, but I see her as being more laid back and not super out. She's not a super, I don't see her as being a super extroverted type of person. She's not
trying to draw attention to herself.
Even if she was, it's the way that everyone there is saying it that is not correct.
Yep. No, it isn't.
You know what I mean?
No, they're trying to put her into a category that is separate from them, and they do it all these different ways. Mm-hmm. The Bob Marley comment, the tequila from Mexico. The last person to see Tamla Horsford alive that we know was a woman named Bridget Fuller, whose husband picked her up from the sleepover party at 1:47 a.m. So Bridget says that Tamla was eating some food. She was going to have one more cigarette and then she was going to go to bed. And she also said that Tamla walked her to the door and gave her a hug before Bridget walked out to her husband's car. However, when Bridget's husband's statement was taken, he said he never saw Tamla and he only saw his wife come out to the car alone.
But they could have maybe hugged in the doorway with the door still closed and maybe the husband didn't see that possibly. That's totally possible.
So this property is equipped with a full home security system. So when you open the doors, it's logged within the system and you can go back later and review that log. So the back door log, door to the back porch, says that the door opened at 1:47 a.m., then opened again, then closed again, then opened again and stayed open from 1:57 a.m. on. So 1:47, doors opened, closed, opened, left open.
And when it opened and closed, it was in quick succession? Like
I believe there might be like a, it might technically be the next minute. So it opens at 1:47 and closes at 1:48.
Sure.
But it's possible that it was near the end of the minute 1:47 to be like it's, they're one right after the other. But then it's open and it's left open until the following day, until after police arrived. Strange. If you have a home security system, I don't think that you're leaving your doors open.
Now, is it ajar? Is it fully open? Is it just not latched?
Yeah, you know? And there's no real way to tell. Mm. So Jean and Jose say that they went to bed at 1:30 before Bridget left. Bridget was still there and they report very much the same. You know, all things normal. They went to bed, didn't hear anything, didn't see anything. So in the morning, Jean's aunt, who also lives at the house. Okay, so now we've got sleepover party. Jean, all her girlfriends, Tamla Horsford, who is one of them, Jose, husband of one of the girls, Tom Smith, and Jean's aunt.
So many people, like just a fucking stupid amount of people.
In my opinion, way too many people for no one to have seen anything at all. Whatever. We're not there yet. We're not into final thoughts yet. Auntie, her name is Madeline
Lombardi.
Lombardi. Thank you so much. Her name is Madeline Lombardi. And she wakes up in the morning. She looks out the window and she sees white Dalmatian pajamas in the grass outside of the window. And it slowly comes over her that the pajamas are covering a pair of legs and there's a person who is laying face down in the grass outside. So this is approximately 8:45 a.m. She said that she said a prayer, okay? And then she went to find Jean to tell her that there was a problem, quote, with her friend from the islands, end quote. Again, Bob Marley, imported tequila from Mexico. Life of the party, friend no, from really? The islands. Could we insult this woman anymore?
Also,
why
really
don't
quick.
You just say Tamla?
Exactly.
Or just your a friend. Person.
Your friend.
Yeah, my friend.
I also read, I heard that technically Auntie Madeline went to find Jose.
Not John.
And like subsequently went to like find Jose and John was like asleep. He said John was asleep or like in the shower or something.
Yes. Okay. So this is where our versions link up.
Okay.
Because Murder Squad reports that Madeline knocked on the door to Jean and Jose's room.
Right.
And heard the shower before Jean and Jose appeared and both looked like they had just showered. It's possible that she went to look for Jose and not Jean, but she got both of them.
Or she was just going to their room, period, to get
whoever
them, right.
to say something is wrong and ends up. Okay. Yeah. See, just another because because the information was never secured in the first place.
Everyone's lying.
Just so we're totally on the same page here, Quinnies. Jean and Jose are freshly showered when they call 911. Cool. Mm-hmm. Great. Cool. Mm-hmm. The call comes in just before 9 a.m. It starts with Jean speaking, and then she hands the phone over to Jose. Jose says, quote, "She's not moving one bit. She's not breathing. She's completely face down in the yard. She is stiff. She was drinking, and it looks like, I'm guessing, maybe she fell off the balcony."
I have so many.
It's Jose who says she's not moving one bit. She's not breathing. She's completely face down in the yard. She's stiff. But it's Jean on the phone previously who said she was drinking, and it looks like, I'm guessing, maybe she fell off the balcony.
I think you're right.
So she starts the call out. Jean starts the call and then hands it off to Jose, who says she's not moving
all the rest
bit.
Of that. Yeah.
And they are both extremely calm.
Extremely calm. I have listened to this call multiple times. Crime Junkie plays parts of it. Murder Squad plays parts of it. I think Morbid has an episode on Tamla Horsford. I'm sure they have it as well. What strikes me is just how calm everyone is. I understand we all react differently to these situations. The problem for me is that there is no sense of urgency.
None.
Right.
In anyone's voice at all.
When I think about it, and I think about, okay, a night of drinking with all of your friends, and you're sure you party really hard, you wake up the next morning, you're fucking hungover, you're not feeling the best, okay? But if you see one of your friends from your sleepover in their onesie out in the fucking yard, gonna be bugging the fuck out.
Yes.
You're gonna be bugging right the fuck out.
I totally agree. It's so hard to understand. You might think that maybe Tamla was visibly dead and there was nothing that could be done for her. And so maybe I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they see that she's visibly dead and there's nothing that can be done. And they're just trying to communicate to the dispatcher. But in the 911 call, Jose admits that he never checked to see if she was breathing.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, okay, so where's the moment where someone went to actually fucking check on the girl? Where's that moment? It's not adding up when you have a sleepover and one of your friends is in the yard.
Exactly.
Like, I'm going to be out there in the yard to see what's going on
because
with my friends.
It's almost like it's a foregone conclusion. They're like, oh, she's just dead out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, but then they admit that they didn't really check. I've seen him listed as a pretrial officer and as a parole officer. So he definitely knows life-saving
the protocol.
Technique.
Yeah. So, okay. The redacted part of the 911 call?
Yeah, that we'd never hear.
Mm-hmm. I heard a little bit more than what the other ones were able to provide. And that's when he was like, saying when the person kept asking, like, can you tell if she's breathing? And he just like keeps ignoring the question.
Oh no, I didn't hear that.
Literally the dispatcher's like, okay, can you tell if she's breathing? And he just keeps saying like, she's not moving one bit. She's stiff, whatever. Like, okay, can you check?
Something ain't clean, Quinny.
No.
Ain't
clean no. And there, at one point the call cuts out and the dispatcher's like, hey, are you still there? I'm sorry, are you still there? And he says, oh yeah, sorry, I was just outside. I'm like, well, where the hell are you now?
Exactly. Where were you?
What do you mean?
With?
I believe you you should still be outside with the.
Oh, and then the part when he was like, oh, I think her name, I think it's.
People call. I think it's like Tammy or it's just.
No.
Yeah. No.
No.
Mm-mm. No. I think at the very least, your girlfriend said that's Tamla in the yard. I think you know her name. I think you know who she is.
It's a very like, oh, I think an owl did it situation.
We will cover the staircase, Quinnies. We will. I promise. Jose says the house has a security system and it's equipped with security cameras pointed right at the backyard. When the police arrive, none of the backyard cameras had working batteries and had not been functional since August of 2018. He also draws attention to an injury on Tamla's right wrist. I'm sorry, on Tamla's left wrist. And he says that it looks like she could have tried to cut herself.
That's a jump.
It's a jump and a half. It's a backflip,
that's
I would call it. Like,
leap.
What are we even saying? What are you saying right now?
For why? You don't even know her name. Why do you think she's all of a sudden self-harming?
So Jose told officers who arrived at the scene from the Forsyth County Sheriff's Office, where he works, Okay.
I can't.
He says that he found some unlit cigarettes and a lighter on the ground on the upstairs back porch. And direct quote, because he is OCD, he picked them up and moved them. There's also some insinuation that when Auntie knocked on the door and said that there's a body in the yard, that he went to the kitchen and washed his coffee cup before he went outside.
I heard that as well.
I don't get that from every source, but OCD, I guess, is what he says is the reason for him doing those kind of strange things.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So none of these items, the unlit cigarettes, the lighter, were ever fingerprinted or preserved. And in fact, nothing at all during the entire processing of the scene or house was fingerprinted. Wow. Jose also finally admitted to touching Tamla's body, saying, depending on what police report you read, that either he touched her leg or he moved her leg to see if she was alive. You yourself say she is not moving one bit. She is stiff.
Yeah, I can't. I'm starting to get pissed.
And you don't put your fingers on her neck to see if she has a pulse? What are you touching her leg for? Why in the hell would anyone ever do that? I know people do weird things, but I don't understand.
Get
that.
It. No, I don't get it either.
So in the incident report that we get from the scene, the lead investigator, Mike Christian, says that he believed Tamla had fallen, but not from the balcony, but she tripped over some garden edging that matched the shape of the scrapes that were on her shins. So again, what we're seeing here, a scene that clearly makes no sense to anyone, right? And we're jumping to conclusions about what it could have been, all while not preserving the scene or collecting evidence.
When asked about this,
in the subsequent investigations in this case, the Georgia Bureau investigation gets involved, and they say that preserving the scene and collecting evidence, quote, are not routine steps when there is no indication of foul play. End quote.
What
if you can't come up with an explanation for how this happened? You rule out foul play?
Right.
Exactly.
If you don't know what happened, then you don't know what happened. Period.
Do you need a formal invitation labeled foul play to drop in your chimney by an owl like Harry
from Hogwarts? From fucking Hogwarts.
What?
It's blood boiling.
What? You're fully admitting that you don't know what happened.
Act like you don't know.
You could maybe find something. Seriously. Act like maybe you can't rule the death an accident after being there for 5 minutes. We watch this with Ellen Greenberg.
Yeah.
And then they go to the medical examiner, and then they have a conference, and then they change the manner of death, and then they go back to the scene and it's been wiped completely clean.
And they ain't got shit.
So unfortunately, Tamla Horsford was pronounced dead at the scene, and her family was subsequently notified. And lead investigator Mike Christian, apparently, according to interview transcripts, told Lee, Tamla's husband, about his ground fall theory, which really comes back to haunt him when the medical examiner's findings are revealed, because he later admitted that he never should have shared his personal theory with the victim's family. Do you think that maybe that wasn't the smartest thing to be like spitballing what could have happened to this man's wife and mother of his children? Do you think that maybe you should keep the brainstorming session away
to
from
yourself?
The victim's family?
Yeah.
Like, are
Dan
you kidding
Abrams
me?
Dan Abrams would kick this guy right in his dick. Love you, Dan Abrams.
During the initial autopsy. Now, Quinnies, did you see that there were three autopsies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because some people just talk about the GBI autopsy, but there was
more than
Forsyth
one,
County, then the GBI, and then an independent. So we have, during the autopsy, the initial autopsy conducted by the medical examiner, they did not complete a sexual assault kit. They took no fingernail clippings, and they took a total of 5 photographs.
Why did you even bother?
This is Maitrice when they found her.
How do you not take pictures? At the very minimum. I take more pictures of that of my son sleeping, doing nothing.
Seriously.
Truly.
Literally.
Fucking having dinner with Sam last night, and I'm mid food silence, right? Just having a beautiful meal. I literally look across the table and say to him, listen, if I die and there's an autopsy, the first thing that you ask them once the autopsy is complete is, did you take pictures of her? And he's like, what? What? Because in these situations, people get buried and it's very Queenie, morbid. But
Beanie,
like,
don't worry. Carly and I will make sure
you'll be on the case.
There would I'm be thousands.
Be on the case. I will avenge my death.
All of the evidence and no, I will
and Carly and will be like, I will be there and I will take the pictures.
So the initial medical examiner's report says that Tamla died of, quote, multiple blunt force injuries and ruled her death an accident. She had a broken neck, she had bleeding on her brain, and she had a laceration to her heart as well as an injury to her wrist.
A laceration to her heart?
Yes.
Yeah, see, the heart is what gets me.
What?
Paul Holes. Paul. Explain this to me.
Oh, he did. My love.
He,
love
he
my
said that it is possible that when you take a fall, a significant fall, your heart absorbs the majority of the impact in your chest because it's just hanging from soft tissue. It can happen that way. It is possible. It's within the realm of possibility. He's okay. Not a medical examiner, but I pretty much believe everything he's ever said.
I pretty much believe every single thing he's ever said.
But the question still is that if she fell from that balcony, that's not necessarily enough of a height to make that sort of wound
happen.
Occur.
The patio, the upstairs back porch was 14 feet off the ground. With a 4 foot railing or 3 foot, 11 inch railing. And so it's 17 feet and 11 inches is the ultimate height. But when you think about that, I'm like, okay, it's 4 foot. I'm not sure how tall Tamla was. It'd be difficult to trip and fall over that railing, but she was found facing away from the house, face down in the grass. So she couldn't have toppled over because her body would be in a different position. Mm-hmm. So when they're talking about her falling from the balcony, we have to assume that this woman stood on top of a railing and jumped off.
Yeah.
Or right. fell off.
She was
off.
Trying to do a belly flop for God's sake.
She was trying to be up to stand on the ledge of a balcony. Okay. This is a lady who is late to her party because she wants to make sure that her kids are situated before mm-hmm. she leaves. They can't come to a consensus on whether she fell from the balcony or the ground. And it takes them longer to determine that finally, yes, it was a fall from the balcony. And that's what they're going with. The medical examiner believes her injuries were consistent with a second story fall. And then we get the toxicology. And that revealed that Tamla's blood alcohol content was 0.238. That is 3 times the legal limit in Georgia. And she had traces of marijuana and Xanax in her system. She had so little Xanax in her system that it's below the amount that they actually consider would affect you, mm-hmm. impair you at the moment of death, or you would be feeling at the moment of death. There are people from in Tamla's family and close circle who straight up don't believe that blood alcohol content number. Mm-hmm. They just think it's fabricated, manufactured, written by someone who had a reason to perpetuate that she died accidentally. And her family could not accept the initial autopsy findings. There are too many unanswered questions. They demanded a second autopsy and they appealed to the GBI and the GBI got involved. And so while everything that we already talked about was in the second autopsy, GBI found a couple more things that no one really thought were important to mention in the first autopsy.
Okay.
Shocker.
So second autopsy, GBI notes several blunt force injuries to Tamla's head, neck, and torso. She has abrasions above her left eye, on the bridge of her nose, on her right temple, and on her left wrist. She also has a fractured second vertebrae and her left wrist was dislocated. Okay, so you remember that she has a cut on her wrist. She may have cut herself. Her mm-hmm. wrist is actually dislocated. It's very difficult to dislocate a wrist. Yes. And it could be the result of a fall, of an the impact of a fall could pop your wrist out of joint.
The whole blunt force trauma shit is having me question a lot of stuff. And it multiple. Sounds to me like somebody was hitting her.
It's both sides of her face. It's
it sounds like someone is hitting her.
She's in the grass. We're not talking about a woman who hit pavement and got a rash on her skin.
Right.
Rocks.
Right.
Or rocks. Or
she's in the grass. Right.
She's in the grass. So her case remained open for about 4 months until February 20th of 2019, when they closed the case and released the incident report and released the death investigation. And
it was deemed an accident, right?
It was deemed an accident. But once the case is closed, the public can actually see these documents. Mm. And so that's when we start to see just the complete outrage from Tamla's friends and family, as well as other members of the public. In December of 2019, Jose Barrera gets fired from his job at the Forsyth County Sheriff's Department for looking up information about the Tamla Horsford case in the law enforcement system. This is a case that he is heavily involved in, that he is a key witness in.
Dare I say person of interest?
They never say that.
I know. Dare I
say. But, well, Jose says it wasn't him. He said someone else used his login and looked it up.
Yeah, okay.
Either way, Jean and Jose love to sue people for defamation. So that's his line. That's what he says happened. He was subsequently fired. Once this story comes out, pretty much everyone who was at the party that night starts receiving death threats and fearing for their lives. And this happened to pretty much everyone in the Madeline McCann story as well. Mm. The whole top is eight. We obviously don't condone anything like that, getting involved in people's actual personal lives and making threats against their life. Even if you don't agree with the case determination,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So it gets really ugly and still will not reopen Tamla's case. And one of the most outspoken advocates for Tamla is her best friend, Michelle Graves.
Michelle.
She has gone to great lengths to keep this story out there, and she has paid the price for it. She has been sued for defamation by Jean and Jose. She has spoken out publicly and criticized the Forsyth County Sheriff's Department investigation, as well as the GBI investigation. Michelle's biggest point of contention is why no one ever rolled Tamla over to try to perform CPR, not even the police. Uh-huh. So the police called off emergency medical services when they arrived. So no one ever attempted CPR on Tamla ever at all.
No one ever tried to revive her ever once at all, ever.
Ever. And Michelle points out that Mike Christian, the lead investigator, has kind of a reputation for making racist comments and has been known to say a few things. She doesn't think much of him. We'll come back to that. Finally, Michelle says that in the incident report and the witness statements, one party guest, we don't know their name, they admit to having worn a necklace that they kept Xanax in on the night of the party. I'm sorry, what? Put it in your purse, weirdo. What the fuck is wrong with you?
What's that movie?
Cruel Intentions?
Cruel Intentions.
Cool, real cool. 2018, so she says baby. This. Xanax says this. Necklaces.
Wearing my Xanax necklace to my the Xanny adult necklace. Slumbo party. It's going to be stressful.
I wear my Xanax neck.
But Tamla's the one getting cray cray with the tequila and the marijuana and the
Xanax. Yeah.
Xanax, of course.
Right. And she told police that it's a prescription.
She's probably the only one that took it, Quinnies. She's probably the only one at the party that took it, Quinnies.
Okay. So she told police it's her prescription. She would never share it. And the police never subpoenaed phones, computers, absolutely nothing. But the police did ask her. Did ask the party guest, would you show me your phone? This woman consented and they looked at her phone and she had texted a friend that she was going to give her some Xanax on the day of the party. So it was right in her phone.
I can't though.
This woman still to this day says that I didn't even know Tamla. Okay.
Was this, we don't know her name. Cause like there was that one friend, Jennifer, who like was also like milling around when John and Jose and Madeline had found Tamla.
Yeah. So there's a lot of confusion about who even stayed over because it seems like a lot of people left.
Right.
Right.
And there weren't that many people that, which again is just adds it's to the sleepover. Weirdness. I thought it was a sleepover. Like, what the hell are we doing? It's very weird.
It's convenient that there's not a lot of people there
around
at the time. Oh, we don't know because we left.
Right.
And then something about Jose walking through the house on his way to wash his coffee cup before he goes to the body, telling people, telling Jennifer to stay in her room and not come out and not like, but then there are other people who say that they slept right through it. They had no idea what was going on until they heard the sirens. Like, it's just, it doesn't add up. It doesn't, it just doesn't add up. It's all of them. Like, and we don't have this information because we just, because it just wasn't gathered. Quinny's. And then we get into 2020. Quinny's, remember 2020? Following the death of George Floyd, Black Lives Matter movement highlighted Tamla's case as an injustice, and it just spread.
Blew up. Yeah. As
you
it should.
You had 50 Cent, Kim Kardashian, T.I. all tweeting, sharing her story, calling for the case to be reopened. And finally, on June 5th of 2020, the family's attorney, his name is Ralph E. Fernandez, not to be confused with Zenaida Gonzalez Fernandez. His name is actually Ralph Fernandez. He provided, actually, I don't work here.
Actually, I don't. Here's your fucking gas cans.
Ralph provided a letter to Tamla's husband, Lee. And this, it was leaked online. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution got it. And it read in part, "This case strongly suggests homicide. Witness statements are in conflict. A potential suspect handled the body as well as evidence prior to law enforcement arriving. Yep. Evidence was disposed of and no inquiry followed. The scene was not preserved." And Fernandez also stated that Tamla's injuries were consistent with those of a physical struggle.
Yes.
But the absence of photos from the initial autopsy prevented a definite conclusion.
It's so infuriating. Oh my God.
I cannot.
The worst part about it is, Quinny's, is that there's like really nothing you can do about that. Mm-mm. It's like, that's a loss that can't be.
It can't be undone.
No. And it's such injustice for her and her family.
After the people get, after people start posting this and getting involved and making a big deal out of it and making a lot of noise online, as people do, after a week, the sheriff's department released a statement and they say that they are asking the GBI to reopen and reinvestigate this case. So this is a really good example of being loud and sharing these things like crazy. And
it actually happens.
And something actually happening.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a great outcome in this case, but they made it. They made it happen. I mean, Kim K and 50 Cent and T.I. spreading this story is like super impactful. It's because they can just reach so many people. So the GBI reopens and reinvestigates the case, Quinny, and they conclude this investigation in May of 2021. First, they strongly agree with the conclusion that Tamla died from an accidental fall and completely stood behind the police work that was done by the Forsyth County Sheriff's Department. However, they did find a key inconsistency in Jose Barrera's story. So he told two different officers at two different points in the initial investigation that he had moved Tamla's arm, her left arm, to check for a pulse. And then he denied having done so to another officer.
Inconsistencies in his story constantly.
Then the GBI report reveals that Jose has a close relationship with an officer who was on scene that day, a man named Officer Kalen. Kalen told the GBI that Jose, quote, was a good guy with a good reputation around the courthouse. Where have we heard this before, Quinny's? Talking to Lauren Smith Fields' mom saying, oh, don't worry, he's a really nice guy. Also, remember lead investigator Mike Christian and Michelle Graves? Two years prior to all of this saying, I don't trust that guy. Well, she's correct because he resigned from his position after sending multiple women whom he was having extramarital affairs with confidential information about his open cases. So we have one woman in a sworn affidavit court record confirms Mike Christian referred to Tamla Horsford as, quote, porch lady and made racist remarks about her and shared the toxicology report from that investigation while it was open with her.
Wow.
This woman also said that she believes that Jose Barrera and Officer Kalen together helped the guests of this party come up with a story that night. And there are a bunch of Snapchats referenced in the GBI report. So there's three screenshots of these messages that Mike Christian was sending to his
lover. People say, apparently,
they say his girlfriend, but like he's married. Mrs. So I just say, yeah, like, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't really even know what to call it. In a message that's sent on the morning of November 4th. So this is the day that Tamla Horsford died. Mike Christian sends a message. It appears to be like his attempt at making a joke, maybe. And it's about notifying Tamla's husband that she has died. And it says, quote, "Hello, sir. I know we've never met, but I'm here to tell you that your wife and the mother of your six children is dead. Oh, yes. I'm happy to report that she was really, really drunk, tripped, landed face down in the backyard. And I know you have fun memories. Enjoy corralling these six boys who are now going to go apeshit."
What the fuck?
On the day that the woman died. Gross. So when you should have been preserving that crime scene and picking up some evidence,
you were sending text messages around, like that.
You're Snapchatting the woman that you're having an affair wife. With, yeah. Not your wife, confidential information and
on an quite open frankly, case.
Horrendous things about a person who has just died. So great. And then on November 19th, just a couple weeks later, he sends a Snapchat to her that says, "Greetings from racist cracker bastard murder covering upland. How are you? It's a nice rainy day, good for digging shallow graves by the roadside." And the Graves is capitalized, like Michelle Graves' last name. Because wow. From the beginning, she's straight up from the you beginning has out. Accused them yeah. of mishandling the ship yeah. from the beginning. So from day one, they know who Michelle Graves is
and
without
she
question.
Also mm-hmm. was the one that said, "Those aren't my kind of people and I don't want to go there.
I'm not going over there."
Knew. Yeah.
He capitalizes the G like a creep.
That's a threat in my eyes. That's like a literal threat.
It is.
That's threatening her life.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And to wow. still come to the same conclusion about her death when you know that the lead investigator was engaging in this kind of behavior, mm-hmm. it just doesn't satisfy me. I just
no,
don't.
It's infuriating.
I feel like it was led from the very beginning. It tainted the whole thing. It was mishandled from the beginning.
I can't even say it was mishandled because it wasn't even handled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, just not touched.
It was just dropped.
It was just yep. unhandled. Yeah.
Then we have an interview from the case reopening. So this is with the GBI. They interviewed Lee's best friend, Stephen Reynolds, and he expressed some concerns that Tamla's death was sexually motivated. He said that he knew that two of the women who were present that night were swingers in their relationship, had an open sexual relationship within their marriage. He told the GBI that his first thought when he heard that Tamla died was that someone tried to initiate something with her sexually and she declined. This doesn't come up anywhere else in the investigation, including the people who were actually accused of being swingers or having some sort of open sexual relationship. They never mention this. No one at the party mentions this. It never comes up except with Lee's best friend in this interview. Mm-hmm. Which is just worth noting. The GBI concludes their report. "We're not going to pursue any criminal charges in Tamla's case. Her death was just a tragic accident." Then Tamla's family has an independent autopsy conducted by a forensic pathologist named Dr. Shaker. And the results of this were released May 21st of this year.
This so just the a third
okay. autopsy number three. And I have to believe that this is a Jessica Easterly situation, Quinnies. They can't even bury her because they keep having to go back to her remains. And it's just mm-hmm. so unfair. So Dr. Shaker says that dislocated wrist that they mentioned is actually a compound fracture. And when you look at the photos of the crime scene, you can see her wrist and there does appear to be a bone physically sticking out of it.
One of the five pictures?
Oh, the five pictures are from the autopsy. The crime scene, they took pictures of, but they took minimal. They took like the least, they took like not detailed shots at all.
Got it. Okay.
It's the actual body, the injuries to the body that we only have five pictures from.
Still ridiculous. Okay.
Wow.
So ridiculous.
Okay.
There's there's a bone sticking out, which makes you think, okay, maybe she fell, put her arm out and broke her wrist or popped her wrist out, but there's almost no blood. at the scene. And if you compound fracture, if you pop your bone out of your skin.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're going to be bleeding. Yeah.
Dr. Shaker believes that her wrist and the laceration to her heart could have been done possibly post-mortem or perimortem in the course of her dying, because it's possible that she was unconscious but not yet dead when she went over.
Exactly.
And that caused the internal injuries that wouldn't have been evident to anyone, and the wrist popping out from that, but wouldn't necessarily cause her wrist to bleed, because she may have been in the process of dying, or we don't really know.
And I'm sorry, there were also showers involved. So let's just do,
freshly showered. Yeah.
Seriously.
And Shaker says that the absence of broken bones in her head rules out for the falling a balcony for him.
Yeah.
What time frame of time of death are they giving us?
There is one account that the time of death is placed at 1:30 a.m. Okay. We know that can't be right, because Tamla is physically seen by Bridget Fuller at 1:47.
Right.
When she leaves, and we know it's exactly 1:47 because of the door. I imagine that it's a time frame that it's like after 1:30 a.m. is their determination, like she died overnight sometime after 1:30 a.m. But Crime Junkie actually pointed out that it was daylight savings that day.
Right. I forgot.
And so is 1:47 or 1:50 or whatever they are actually 1:47, or is it 2:47
that has gone back?
That has gone back. Exactly. Yes.
Right.
I don't know. She doesn't have any broken bones in her head, Quinny's, and she's face down. As of right now, no charges have been filed in connection with the death of Tamla Horsford. Her case remains closed. There is a petition to reopen her case as a homicide. I will include that information in the show notes. Additionally, justicefortam.org, fantastic resource for anyone who wants more information about this story.
I have so many notes.
Lay it on us, Carly.
Okay.
It's so bad.
Okay. I don't even know where to begin. Like we said before, the whole tequila, marijuana, only smoker, life of the party, like, let's throw that right the fuck out.
Okay? Yeah, until, throw that out the window.
Until Lee Horsford tells me that his wife, Tamla, was all of those things. I don't want to hear it. Jean and Jose having freshly showered. Fine. Okay. Regardless of them showering, the fact that Auntie finds Tamla sees Tamla, mm-hmm. goes to find Jose and or Jean, whatever. And that is the moment that they're freshly showered, or like the shower is running and then they get out of the shower. That is such perfect timing.
It's too perfect.
It's too fucking perfect, dude.
Right.
It's too perfect. I want to know. No. Nay, I need to know why any of that 911 call is redacted.
I wonder if it might have some people's names in it.
Not full minutes. Then beep out the names if you need to. I need that whole 911 call.
Seriously.
I need that 911 operator to email us at straighttopeople@gmail.com.
Thank you. Bye.
So we can hear a little more about that.
A little bit more. Where's Tim Smith?
Right. Okay. So Tom Smith is the husband of one of the party guests. Hmm? We don't hear too much about him.
Yeah. Where is he gone?
He was chilling with Jose.
Yeah.
And where's his witness statement? Yeah.
Interesting.
Don't like
he
it.
Had to stay for the
don't
girl's like sleepover. It. Had to hang out with his bro Jose, but then just pieces
but
out.
But then he's just out. Yeah.
Cool. Jose not knowing Tamla's name. I understand that, like, not everyone's boyfriend is going to know, like, everyone.
No, something ain't clean.
Girlfriend's names or whatever. But Tamla, like you said in the pictures, Josh, she seems, according to the photos that we have, fairly comfortable in the situation mm-hmm. with the people. I don't feel like she or anyone necessarily would be like, let me go for a full on adult sleepover with people I barely know or are uneasy around or what have you. She may not have known Jose was going to be there because it was supposed to be an all girl sleepover, so like whatever. But him, the way that you hear him say that in the 911 call just sounds fake to me. I'm sorry.
It does. There are, and I mean, these people, they love to sue for defamation. They do. I'm not trying to.
I know.
I'm really not trying to to say anything, but there are some sources out there that say that Jean maybe their relationship wasn't the most public relationship. I also read that Jose is significantly younger, mm-hmm. like 15 to 20 years younger mm-hmm. than Jean. So maybe you wouldn't assume that he would be there because she doesn't really bring him around.
Sure.
Football with the kids. Game.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they are not.
I kept reading. Oh, Tamla was always cold. So she always was wearing a jacket. And the fact that she wasn't wearing a jacket or her shoes was weird. I don't love how they're quoted to saying we always teased Tamla for having a cold nature.
They apparently tease her for a lot of shit.
Yeah, not mm-hmm. loving
they
it.
They tease her for a ton of shit.
Not loving it. Not she is not the black woman of the group doesn't need to be the butt of all the jokes. But then I also feel like, okay, the jacket isn't that big of a deal to me personally because she's wearing a full-on Dalmatian onesie.
Yeah. And okay. as a perpetually cold person myself, it's Georgia. Okay. So right. it's probably pretty warm.
And it's November,
and
but still.
If you're in the house, it's probably pretty cool and comfortable. And so you're probably honestly colder inside than you would be outside.
And if she's had
this is what happens to lifelong cold people like myself. You're cold when you're inside and comfortable outside.
And she's wearing a onesie.
Yeah. She's covered
They're
up.
Warm.
Like, there's just no
so many holes, just like the spots on her freaking onesie. There are so many holes in the damn case.
Why did they wait 3 fucking weeks to interview anyone at the party?
Yeah. So
they say that they called everybody back that day to get statements from them.
Yeah.
And that's some of the witness statements that we have. But you're absolutely right, Carly. There were no real formal interviews conducted until after the medical examiner had done the autopsy, which the two things are not mutually exclusive. I don't know why they did that. Well, of course, we know why they did that.
Because
it was a foregone conclusion. They were like, it was accidental. That's what we're going to say. That's it.
Did you hear about the Dunkin' Donuts gift cards?
No.
This is alleged. I do not know this for fact. I read, though, from a source or two that Jean, either at the tail end or full on interrupted Auntie Madeline's discussion with the police at the police station to give the police Dunkin' Donuts gift cards for their help in this matter. Where is Tamla's cell phone?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Where are her keys? And where is her phone?
Where's
her purse?
Where's her purse? Was there. Maybe her keys weren't. We don't even freaking know. Let's say.
Yeah.
But we know her phone was.
We know her phone. She called the kids.
She FaceTimed.
Where's her phone? What's on the phone? Where's the phone? I need the phone. I truly feel that someone, at least one person, probably more people, if not the whole damn place, had it out for her. Maybe there was jealousy involved. Maybe there was, in some way, there was a sexual something, not consensual. And that it led to her being brutally attacked. And I completely feel that she was therefore thrown over the balcony. Yes.
There's indications that she could have been totally incapacitated, but not yet dead. Yeah, Quinnies, I'm in agreement here. I think we're all in agreement. This is not what it seems at all. I imagine the simplest explanation could be the one that's most plausible here.
Mm-hmm.
There's alcohol involved. And anytime there's alcohol involved, someone says something and it escalates to something physical and it gets out of hand. And that is a common fucking situation. How many times have we heard about bar fights or incidents over alcohol where it escalates to blows and someone hits someone not intending to hurt them and fucking kills them? It's a bad
combo.
Environment to be in. Period. Mm-hmm. No way she's the only one who's smoking weed. No way she's the only one who's, I'm just not there for it.
And, I'm sorry. They didn't want to drink her Mexican tequila.
Oh yeah. I heard some stuff from Mexico, whatever, but that made me gag.
Yeah,
the GBI also declined to test that bottle of tequila either. Uh-huh. which a lot of people were like, great, she's the only one drinking it. Test it. See if there's something wrong with it. See if somebody fucked with it. But they have absolutely refused to do that because they won't entertain the idea that this was messed up from the beginning. And as we have said before, and as we will say again, regardless of what happened, maybe Tamela Horsford died of an accidental fall off of a balcony or from the ground. Maybe. Maybe in some realm of possibility, but you cannot tell me that if one of those white ladies died, we would not get a full on murder investigation.
Exactly.
We would 100% arrested. Every dotted T crossed I. Nope. I always do that. Everything would have been taken care of from the top and handled meticulously. And we would have a full investigation and everyone would know exactly what happened. Instead, we have yet another family paying for independent autopsies that should be competently provided by the government that they pay taxes to. It is just not fair that her friends and family for years now have had to take up this cause because from the beginning they ignored it. And not just a like we see sometimes a transient individual or a person who has no real personal ties to the community or to the area. This is a woman who, mother of six, the loss of her is irreplaceable for her family. Absolutely. It's so scary to think that you could be sitting in the kitchen with your best friend while she cooks dinner and in less than 24 hours, she's dead and no one tells you why.
Yeah, that's what I have to say too.
This wasn't like, where did she go and who did she come in contact with?
Right.
There were
multiple people there.
And yet no one gets questioned properly or interviewed properly. It's just like, it's so wrong. And this is what really gets me too. For her friend said, nope, that's not my kind of people. Like, I don't want to go to that scene. Like, that just shows to me that there have been conversations like in the past between those two best friends about these people, like being a certain type of person and being a certain type of people. And then you see them bullying her throughout this whole thing and all of the bullying. But the thing that I keep going back to is that she wanted to go to that party. Like for some reason, she was made to believe like that she was included enough to go and take the picture on the couch and have where she's looking semi-comfortable and like she's having a good time. Like it went to the extent that she wanted to go there.
It could be like one of two things in my mind. It could be one of two things. There haven't been in the community that long. They, you know, because they had moved there. Maybe they wanted
to become more social,
what have you. Because it's like a football mom situation.
Yes.
Is it
they're
like
mean girls?
They're mean girls. Like maybe she wants to like just get in with them because she wants to have some friends, or maybe she wants to get in with them to help her children, like either do better on the team. Like maybe her boys are being bullied, or maybe her boys are like not getting to play in the games and are just like
she put
on the bench.
Herself like, in an uncomfortable situation, like in order to like exactly
better
like
their life
for a sacrifice, like as a sacrifice.
That's why they moved 100%.
The blood alcohol level is outrageous to me. The insinuations about the drug use and the girl with the Xanax necklace, and there's a lot going on there. And even if like everyone says, Tamela Horsford was just keeping pace, these ladies are hitting it hard.
Yeah.
Hard. This is an environment that it invites something bad to happen.
Yeah.
And I can just see it really. I can just see someone saying something. Especially because they bring up Cards Against Humanity too. I could just see someone saying something, or maybe someone saying like the 15th or 16th thing that's been said to Tamela this night. And she's finally just like, you know, why don't you fuck off?
Right.
And it escalates and she gets really hurt and they have to come up, they scramble to do something.
Totally.
To come up with a plan. Yeah.
My one question I have for you, Quinnies, do we think this was premeditated at all?
I did not, but now that Katie is bringing up that amazing point about why did she want to be there? Mm-hmm. It does seem like she would, like they got her there.
Like there was some kind of something going on. I keep going back to the bullying vibes. This, mm-hmm. Our Caribbean friend, our friend from the islands. Fucking alienated her from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And homegirl friend says, and it's almost like I get vibes. Besties at dinner. You're at dinner with bestie. You're sitting there. It's just the two of you. Your friend saying, man, like, are you sure you want to go over there? Like, these aren't your people. Yeah. Me, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Maybe Tamla was like, I want to go because I think it'll be good, but like, it'll
will
be good.
Go
for
with
will
me,
you please
maybe?
Come with me?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And she's like, no. Yeah.
No.
Not going
you,
to that.
Love you, bitch, but I ain't doing it.
And
yeah.
she's like, okay, I'll just go by myself, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, if you didn't want this type of speculation to go on, you probably should have investigated her death.
Initially to begin with.
You know, sign the petition. Get involved, absolutely. Share this story. How many of these are we going to cover on the show before someone starts really seriously talking about the way that we handle these types of cases?
And it's not okay. It really isn't. And it has to change.
Also, one more thing. That picture when they're like all like on the couch or whatever.
It's forced. It's like so forced.
Everyone else is like clicky clicky together. Like, oh, we're having a great time. And poor Tamla's like, I'm having a great time. Like, yes. And no one is actually like leaning in toward her.
No one is like holding her. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She's the outsider. She's the alien, dude.
I don't like it.
It gives me Mean Girls Regina George vibes, dude. Oh, let's have the sleepover with all the cool girls and we invite the weird girl over because we want to call out the weird girl. It's like it's giving me fucking Stranger Things vibes. Just watch the new season.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started.
All the more reason why they say, oh, she was the life of the party. It's deflection. No. It's a bunch of deflection and it ain't clean in the milk.
It ain't clean. Thanks, Joss.
Oh yeah. Anytime.
Yep.
Listen to Straight Up Evil.